Gervin earlier mentioned there are opportunities, and that's one of the other things that in those folders, these volunteer cards. And we're really hoping and trying to build a culture and community of service. I mentioned maybe 2 weeks ago, part of that idea for me was that as you become a member of Gateway Community Church, you're going to receive one of the things that you'll receive when you, if you decide to become a member of this church, you'll receive a t-shirt that will have our logo on the front, and on the back between the shoulder blades is going to say staff. Because the thought is that we are all staff together, paid or unpaid. And part of the culture that we want to be a part of our church is service. That's what we do, and that's who we are. Not just to each other or the things that are happening inside these walls, but especially the things that are happening outside of these walls. And so these little volunteer cards are a way of helping you respond to your call to serve. And if you look at these and go, man, I'm really passionate about this, this, or this, you make a little check, you throw it in an offering basket, and you can know that someone is going to contact you to say, let's figure out how you can serve and how you can respond to that call to serve. If you go, man, I look through this list, none of these things really get me super excited, but one of the things that really does get me super excited is fill in the blank, then there's plenty of space on this card to write something down or write something in there. If you go, man, you know, I don't see it on here, but I'm really passionate about this, and perhaps that becomes a thing that we do. Who knows? But I would encourage you to be spending some time and thinking about, praying about, because the opportunities will be endless as we move forward and as we relaunch as a new church. Some of you, for example, some of you should be small group leaders. There are some of you who you know it, and you're like, I don't really want to, or yeah, I don't really like to be kind of in front of a group. Oh, shut up. Like, come on, right? This is, you have this gift and you know it. So let's, you know, things like that, whatever that is, let's figure out how you're going to live into that. And we as your church family are going to help you respond to that. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again because we know that you have been present with us and will continue to be so. And so we pray that even if just for a moment, you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice. Allow your spirit to be our filter. And so that we would hear the things that you would have for us, and everything else we can set off to the side. And so we pray this morning that your word would be fresh and new to us, that you would open our hearts and our minds to those things, and that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. I want to let you know as well that I'm going to be on vacation the next two Sundays. Next Sunday we will have Dr. Cindy Reynolds, who's going to be sharing with us next Sunday and leading us in a time of communion. And then the following Sunday, Pastor Billy will be here. So I want you to be aware of that so that you're not thinking that I just kind of skipped out. But know that I am skipping out because I'm going to be on vacation for a little bit. And then you're going to have to deal with me for like a long time. So just be prepared for that. This morning, we're finishing up a little two-part series talking about time. Last week, we talked about time, and we talked about it. There's really two main Greek words that they use to describe or to think about and talk about time. Chronos, which we talked about last week, which is the idea of chronological, right? That's where we get that word. And we think about, oftentimes we think about time in this sort of linear, chronological way. And then there's kairos, which we'll talk about, we kind of mentioned last week. I kind of described or simplified the two in thinking as chronos is kind of how I would, a simple definition would be like our time, how we think of our time, and then kairos would be God's time. And so we're going to talk about that kairos a little bit this morning, being reminded that last week, oftentimes we think about time as a resource. It's a commodity, and for many of us, our most precious commodity. For many of us, we would easily put time above even our money as our as a resource that we want to manage and protect and hold and things like that. We would be much more apt to write a check for something, knowing that time-wise, I don't have to go do this or be there, and So we talked about time as a resource, as a commodity. We also talked about time as a curse. That some of us, it's our culture, I think you could suggest or argue, can see time as a curse. We try all of these different ways to slow it down, to stop it, to push back against it, and what that looks like or what that means for us when we think about time in this chronological, linear sort of way. And again, what do we do with our time? We had some statistics that we used about how, you know, the average amount of time that an individual sleeps in a day and in their life, and how much time we spend in leisure, how much time we spend in work, and had some different statistics on all of those kind of things. And the question then became for us, that we still wrestle with, is, well, what are we doing with our time? How are we using it? How are we stewards of it? When you think about the volunteers that we just celebrated, what a use of time, right? The ways in which you give to this church is not just financially, though that's an important part of your relationship with Christ and your discipleship, is what you do with your money, but also what do you do with your calendar? What do you do with your schedule? What do you do with your time? And what are the ways in which you can use and give your time to your church and to your community? And so we talked about that. We were reminded, if you're taking some notes, James chapter 4, we're reminded where James tells us that when we think about time in this chronos kind of view, in this chronological, linear sort of thing, James reminds us that, what is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a moment and then vanishes. And that is that's a chronos kind of view of time, that he reminds us that time is this fleeting resource that we cannot reproduce. We say things like, I'm going to make some time for, but you cannot make a 25th hour of your day. You cannot do it. It is here and it is gone. And so we think about, how do we use time? What do we do with it? And James reminds us that it is this thing, this resource that is fleeting. And so because of that, it's easy for us, I think, to think about time as this thing that we really kind of want to protect, right? That we guard, that we kind of are very jealous of. And I wonder if instead of thinking of time as this commodity that we must save, if instead we looked at our time as opportunity. So I would invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. I would invite you to bring your Bibles to church. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles on the back table. Grab them, and there it is yours. It's our gift to you. Take it. It's yours. If you got it on your phone, your tablets, or whatever, all of that is also highly encouraged. So just bring your Bibles. Sometimes I'll have the words on the screen. Sometimes I'll keep you on your toes. Most of the time, it'll be on the screen. This morning, it is not. So Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Maybe you're taking notes. Spend some time with it later in the week, whatever the case might be. Paul's writing this, and he says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. And when he's outsiders, he would define as those outside of the believing community. I think for us, that is, irregardless of Christian or non-Christian, that is just people who are outside of these walls. And sometimes those who then come into our walls, right? The outsider is not just those who are physically out, but who maybe sometimes gather up enough courage. Can you remember the maybe fear and dread that you felt when you walked into a church for the first time as an adult? Even if you grew up in church and you moved and walked into a church for the first time, that is a scary thing. And so I think Paul is suggesting that we are reminded of the outsider, even when they come inside, that we are aware of the ways in which we act. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Remember, Jesus said, you are the what of the earth? Right? So Paul's like, hey, you're supposed to be salty as Christians, so may your conversations be seasoned with the salt, with the love of Christ. However you might define salty, right? Okay. Make the most of every opportunity and let your conversation be always full of grace. And so this idea behind this kairos view of time, as you look at the way in which it was used back in the day, it was sort of this opportune moment. And I wonder if this morning we could challenge the way in which we think about time as this chronos kind of thing, this chronological linear thing that's just moving and it's fleeing and it's going and it's gone. If we switched from that kind of idea to time as we look at it as kairos, as this sort of opportunity. These moments even of opportunity. So think about this. Have you ever mapped out, scheduled, planned your day? Okay, you're moving to your day and you've got it all mapped out, you've got it scheduled, you got it planned, and it's actually going as you have planned it. You're like moving along in your day and like, this is happening. I'm getting some things done, like, wow, I'm super productive, and then that individual walks into your office. And all of a sudden, your plan, your mapped out day, your schedule crumbles on the floor. And it's easy, right? Because then immediately we're just like, and it becomes a distraction, it becomes an interruption, it becomes an annoyance, we're frustrated, and we're like, ah! Don't you know that I've got this plan, this schedule, this map of how this day is supposed to go? I was actually making progress on some things, and then you. Now, it's interesting because this happens, I think this happens all the time at home, in our homes. Another example might be if you've ever gone to the grocery store to run and pick up something, and you've got like your short little list, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be in and out and bang, 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 got my stuff. I know where it is in the store. Like you've mapped out your route in the store. Maybe I'm the only one that's this ridiculous. So, mapped out my route. I'm like, okay, here. I'm going to go here. Bang, 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 this, here, this. And then I'm like, and I'm out. And you're like, you're going and you're like, cool, I made it through the produce section. We're moving along. Okay, made it. Maybe you go through some other section or not. And then you're like going, and you're there. And then you run into the individual who's daughter has had some health issues. And they want to share and talk about some of that experience and some of the progress and some of the highs and the lows in that journey. And you're like, I got this list. Like, I still got to get to the dairy section. And it becomes a distraction. It becomes an annoyance. It becomes a frustration. Happens at home, right? I mean, I mentioned, if you've got this list of things that you want to do at home, and then your kid is like, dad. Yes, honey. Dad. Like, I gotta show you this Lego thing I built. No, you don't. And that's where in that moment, right, parenting, you're like either moving closer to perfection in Jesus or you're not, because you're like either like, yes, you do, son, and I would love for you to show me it. Or you're like, no, you don't. Like, I'm good. I bet it's a thing. Like, I bet it's not even a thing. Like, you just slap some things together. It's not even a thing. Right? And wherever, you're either moving closer to Jesus or further away, right? Or your daughter, you're working out. Some of you have seen that we're doing this backyard thing, and we don't even really know what it is, but we're doing some stuff in the backyard that involves a lot of dirt and a lot of rocks and pavers, and we're doing this thing, and your 2-year-old daughter is like, as you're just sweat is dripping down your face, you're moving wheelbarrows of heavy stuff, you're not a strong person necessarily, and you're moving these things, and your daughter's like, Daddy, 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 look at my face. I don't want to look at your face. And in those moments, you're either moving closer to Jesus or farther away. And the difference, I think, could be our view of time. The Chronos view of time is this, oh dear son, oh dear daughter, I only have this limited amount of time to move this wheelbarrow of dirt. Oh dear son, oh dear daughter, I only have this limited amount of time to do and fill in the blank of whatever it is around the house. We don't just do this to our kids, we do this to our spouses. Chronos would tell us, time is limited, I'm sorry, this is an interruption, this is an annoyance, this is a frustration. The Kairos view of time might say, here is an opportunity. Oh. And it seems like one might move us closer to Jesus than the other when I think about how I view time. My son and my daughter, they don't need this finished backyard. My son and my daughter, they don't need the curtain rod to be hung and the curtains in that moment. They don't need that. What they need is a mom or a dad. Chronos, Kairos. Your spouse doesn't need a handyman service. Your spouse doesn't need a cleaning service. Your spouse needs a husband or a wife. Perhaps the difference in that moment, right, of Chronos and Kairos or Kairos, like it's the opportunity, right? And I wonder if there's something to be said about the way in which we view and we use our time. And if we think about God, the way in which God views our time as opportunity, what if the gift that God gives us of every single breath of every day we have is really meant to be an opportunity? Now, I think there's a couple things that happen when we can shift our view from Chronos to Kairos. If we can shift it in our little tiny brains, and so that we can move distractions and interruptions and even annoyances, and they might become something else. And I think there are two in particular, two things that happen. The first one I think that happens when we can move from time as this thing that we want to possess and control and claim to time as opportunity that God gives us. I think the first thing that happens right away is that we're reminded that the time is not ours. Our time is not ours. One of the greatest pieces of parenting advice I received from Nancy Schreck. She's sitting at that back table, and young families, if you don't know her, you need to know her and talk to her. One of the greatest pieces of parenting advice that I still remember was her saying, and we were talking, because we have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 7-month-old. That's me, like, checking the date, okay? I know how old my youngest son is, but he's now just turned 7 months old. And we, myself and my wife, are people who like to have lists and like to get things done, especially around our house. It's sort of a weird obsession, but also kind of a weird hobby. You know, it's that mix of, like, it's kind of fun. It also is, like, the worst thing I've ever experienced. Like, it's that weird thing, right? There's tension there. And so we're trying to figure out, how can we do these things with a 4, a 2, and a 7-month-old? And I'll never forget, it's been a year or maybe 2 now, when Nancy said one of the things that she came to realize as her and her husband Tom were raising their beautifully strong, smart, independent daughters who are now these beautiful, strong, smart, young women, is that I sort of threw my to-do list, my agenda, I kind of threw it out the window. and I was in the moment with my kids. And what it allowed me to do was not lose my mind. And I thought about that for a while. I was like, I don't get it. And then I went home that day after church, and it was like an hour later at home, and I was like, I get it now. When I set all of these expectations or these agendas of these things that I'm going to do in my view of time as this thing that's fleeting, and I've only got this amount of time, which is true, and the Bible speaks to that. But I wanted to get all these things done, and my kids then were an annoyance, that when I looked at it a different way, now all of a sudden it helped me realize that my time is not my own. It is, in fact, a gift that God gives me, and it helps to challenge my priorities. We've talked about that all the time, that your priorities equal your calendar and your checkbook. Calendar plus checkbook equals priorities. The second thing that I think it does when we shift our thinking of time to this idea of opportunity, perhaps it's a miracle that happens. The distractions, the interruptions, and even the annoyances are transformed into opportunities. We no longer become slaves to our schedules, our calendars, or our to-do lists. And when these things we call distractions, annoyances, interruptions, frustrations, when those things can transform into opportunity, with that comes freedom. Because no longer are we slave to the schedule, are we slave to the map of the day that we've laid out, to our to-do list. We have the freedom to live in the time that God has given us and make opportunity of it. When we can have this view of time, we are free to hear the stories of others. And if you have ever been in a conversation where you have tried to share your story with someone and you can clearly see that they are not tuned into you, nor do they care about your story, you know how important it is to listen and to hear another story. And if we can look at time as opportunity, now we have the freedom to hear the story of another. We're also free to share our stories. We become free to invite people to connect with you, with us. When we are free with our time and see it as opportunity, we might even be free to invite people to come and join us at church. We know statistically there are a lot of people who don't really like church, but are for the most part pretty cool with Jesus. And perhaps if we open up our time as opportunity, we might see the freedom to invite people to say, hey, why don't you come and experience relationship with some other people and with Christ, and see how church can be a really meaningful, transforming thing in your life. But we've got to create the space in our calendars and our schedule to be open to those opportunities. And that's a shift in the entire way in which we view our time. It might free us to invite people to connect, and it might just free us to love people as Christ has called us to love people. No wonder people think Christians are jerks when our schedules are so jam-packed that we don't have even a moment to give to another. They might know somehow or some way that you're a Christian, but then when they interact with your schedule and you're like, dude, you're a distraction, you're an interruption, you're annoying, you're frustrating me, they're going to go, Because you think that when you interact with people, right? I mean, when we interact with people and we run into them and they're just, they don't give us, we have a phrase, right, that we say, didn't give me the time of day. And we write them off. May we be a people who might pursue time in a way in which we see it as opportunity so that people would not write you off nor write the church or Jesus off. What a challenging yet simple thing to think about how we and what we do with our time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because you are a God who is outside of time. You see it all happening, all of it happening. And yet you meet with us here in this time and in this place. And so I pray that as we strive to follow you, as we strive to be your disciples, that you might remind us and help us to recognize that that means we also have to surrender our time to you. Our calendars, our schedules, our to-do lists, that they might be yours. That we could bring them as offerings and lay them at your feet and go, okay, God, you know that we got to get some stuff done. But that we might do so in a way that we would see our time as not just a gift from you, but as opportunity. As opportunity to hear another story, as opportunity to share ours, as opportunity to invite, to connect, to invest, and to love. Lord, help us to be a people who are not so overscheduled that even our schedules tell people a story about you that just isn't true. And so we give you thanks for the gift of time, and we pray that you would help us as we strive to grow closer to you, that we might give it back to you and trust you with our time, and in that, see the opportunities that you might have for us.